The Adventures of Elizabeth Crown presents The Phantasmal Return of Raymond Walsh, Episode 4.
"But I don't understand," Raymond protested. "I'm the reason we're here. Why shouldn't I go with you?"
The three of them sat in the car, exactly as before. The car was parked on a side street, so they could discreetly watch the funeral home. Elizabeth snapped her purse shut, deciding how she should answer Raymond's question.
"Whoever did this," Elizabeth said, "doesn't want to be found out. We don't know who they are, but they know very well who you are. Not just your face, but your whole body. They likely know your name and address. They may know things that we could never anticipate. The moment you walk in there, they'll panic. Or worse, but they'll never suspect me. Me they've never seen before."
Raymond bit his lip. He didn't look satisfied, but he nodded his assent. Elizabeth was glad. She needed him to stay put. Yes, his presence would cause alarm, but there was also the smell. She hadn't noticed it at first, or else she had ignored it. But the smell had grown more pungent in the past hour. A fleshy odor, like chicken fat left out on a cutting board. Chemical, too, like the formaldehyde of her med school days. Raymond slumped in the back seat, sunken and knock-kneed. He breathed slowly through his open mouth. His forehead bubbled with viscous sweat. In a photograph, he would have passed for a corpse.
"If you feel any worse," Elizabeth said gently, "Maud can drive you back."
"I feel fine," Raymond rasped.
Elizabeth gave Maud a look. Her assistant returned the signal. She didn't want to leave them alone, but they were here, and Raymond looked too weak, too preoccupied to cause trouble. All at once, Elizabeth stepped out of the car, adjusted the strap of her satchel, and strode across the avenue. The funeral home was a large Victorian house with a maze of sloped roofs and textured stone walls. One side was caked in ivy, which also clung to an adjacent telephone line. Elizabeth climbed the steps to a broad, empty porch. She took a breath, then slapped a brass knocker against the door. A woman appeared. She wore a rigid gray dress with a frilly white collar. She had a doughy figure and mousy face, and her tiny eyes blinked behind delicate spectacles. Her hair was woven into an elaborate bun. She smiled, a meek, servile smile.
"Oh, hello there," she said in a small voice. "Can I help you?"
"I hope so," said Elizabeth. "My name is Elizabeth Walsh. I'm looking for my..." She paused. "That is, I think you have my cousin here."
"Oh," said the woman. "Is your cousin no longer with us?"
Elizabeth forced herself not to smile. "No, I'm afraid he had a fall."
"Ah," said the woman, opening the door fully. "Why don't you come in then?"
For all the death that Elizabeth had witnessed, she had spent little time in funeral parlors. The room was dark, the curtains drawn, but Elizabeth could make out the ring of sofas in the middle. The still air was dense with pollen, owing to a dozen potted bouquets that decorated the room. True to the funereal ambiance, the stiff yellow roses and obligatory violets didn't remind Elizabeth of spring, but of mourning.
"Nice place you have here," Elizabeth said. "I can tell Raymond is in good hands."
The woman blushed at the floor.
"We do our best."
"Clarissa," came a voice. "Is someone there?"
A man lumbered into the room. He was painfully tall, dressed in a black suit. His sunken cheeks were powdery white, and what remained of his hair was a scraggly copse. His eyes were rheumy and small, like unpolished marbles. His lips were wide and meaty, and he looked, on the whole, like a catfish.
"Dr. McAndrew," said the woman. "This is..."
"Elizabeth," Elizabeth interrupted. She moved over to the man and extended a hand. "Elizabeth Walsh." Dr. McAndrew dipped his head, a turtle-like salutation, and Elizabeth withdrew her hand. The man stood there for a moment, apparently thinking. Then he said,
"I'm guessing you have some relation to Mr. Raymond Walsh."
He said this frankly, as if guessing what Elizabeth had eaten for breakfast. "That's right," Elizabeth said. "He's my cousin. That is, he was my cousin. Until that dreadful..." Elizabeth had impersonated dozens of people and professions over the years. She had privately joked about adding "imposter" to her business card. But she also knew her limitations as an actress. False statements came easily. False emotions did not. In moments like this, trailing off was good enough. Chewing the scenery would only give her away. "I've been out of the loop," Elizabeth said quickly. "No one ever tells me anything. I don't even know who made the arrangements. His father, I assume."
"His father," replied Dr. McAndrew.
Then he nodded agreeably.
"I believe so, yes."
"I know this is unusual," said Elizabeth carefully, "but Raymond and I were very close. Is there any chance, that is, would I be able to see him?" A silence penetrated the room. Elizabeth dared not breathe. The die had been cast. She watched the man closely, his aged face staring stoically back at her. It was awkward, the three of them standing, while the sofas remained unoccupied. As the silence continued, Elizabeth's certainty grew. This man was hiding something. He knew that Raymond's body was missing. He was thinking, strategizing, how to hide this fact, how to ease her grief without revealing the truth. Yet Elizabeth saw none of this in his face. His marble features revealed nothing. Then Dr. McAndrew broke the silence.
"Not unusual at all. Many of our clients ask to see the deceased. It's only natural. Before the funeral, just to say goodbye. And the ceremony will be a closed casket, of course. So I doubt you'll have another chance."
This was not the answer Elizabeth expected. Did he not know the body was missing? Had he lost track? How many corpses were stored back there? A chill ran through her. Did he suspect something? Or was he innocent after all? Was there another factor at play? "Thank you," she said, trying to sound gracious. "It would mean a lot to me."
"I'll warn you, though," the old man continued. "He's pretty banged up. You might reconsider. Not everyone likes to see their loved ones in such a state."
There it is, she thought. That's his game. Kill me with kindness. Insist that I don't really want to do this. Make me second-guess myself. Not a bad tactic, but it won't work. "As it happens," Elizabeth said, "I have some medical training. Bodies don't bother me, even the ones I know well." The funeral director shrugged. This simple gesture was alarmingly dramatic on a man so tall.
"Suit yourself," he said.
Then he turned to the woman.
"Escort our guest downstairs, would you, Clarissa?"
"Certainly, Dr. McAndrew."
The man turned to go, then said over his shoulder,
"Good day, Miss Walsh, and my condolences for your loss."
Elizabeth followed Clarissa through the rear entrance. Beyond the living room, the house was a jumble of closed doors and narrow hallways. This was so common among old houses. Many small rooms locked confusingly together, easily kept warm in the winter, but hard to navigate At last, Clarissa pushed open a slender door and switched on an electric bulb. The staircase was splashed with light, and Elizabeth was surprised to see the steps were carpeted. Fresh plaster coated the walls. Clarissa lifted her dark skirts and fluidly descended the steps.
"I must apologize for my uncle," she said. "He can be rather brusque sometimes."
"We'll see how pleasant I am at his age," Elizabeth replied. Clarissa giggled. It was light and pleasant, like the chirping of a tiny bird.
"Oh, but he's always been like that, ever since I was a girl."
"Are you close?"
"You could say that," she replied, reaching the bottom of the stairs. "He's taken care of me since I was 16 years old.
Elizabeth wondered how much time had passed since then. Her garments were formal and matronly, but she carried herself in a childlike way. How old was she? 30? 40? Her skin was waxy and pale, neither supple nor wrinkled. She didn't seem like the type to dye her hair, and her tightly bound locks were thick and brown. Passing her on the street, Elizabeth would have considered her the portrait of an old maid, cloistered and content. "How did he come to care for you?" Elizabeth asked.
"Oh," Clarissa said. "Well, that's a very sad story."
"I'm sorry," said Elizabeth. "I didn't mean to pry." "My mother and father passed away," Clarissa said plainly.
"They were staying in a hotel in Kalamazoo, visiting my mother's sister. She was going to secretary school and living in a girl's dormitory. There wasn't any room for them, so they stayed at a hotel. Just one night."
She smiled sadly. It was the smile of someone who didn't know what else to do when overcome with emotion.
"There was a gas leak. One of the pipes was loose, they said. They never woke up."
"Oh, Clarissa," Elizabeth said. "I'm so sorry."
"Well, that was a long time ago," Clarissa said, forcing her smile wider. "What do you think?"
They had reached the basement, but it might as well have been a second living room. Jars and instruments were neatly arranged on handsome wood shelves. A door stood in the corner, marked Supplies. A Persian rug was spread out on the floor, and framed paintings decorated the walls, most of them still lifes of bread and fruit. Only one thing was out of place. The table in the middle of the room. A white sheet was pulled across, its fabric outlining the contours of a body.
"It's quite cozy," Elizabeth said. "Well, we spend a lot of time down here. Makes it feel homey."
"We? You mean you work with him? On the, well, preparations?"
"Oh, yes," Clarissa said, flashing with pride. "He taught me everything I know. I help him with every step. Well, almost every step."
Clarissa hovered over the body. She touched the sheet that covered it. She looked meaningfully at Elizabeth.
"This is him," she said.
Elizabeth tensed. "Raymond?"
"Yes. Now, are you sure you want to do this?"
Elizabeth nodded. Clarissa pulled back the sheet, and the top half of a cadaver emerged. The head was small, but the jaw was square. His shoulders and pectorals were defined, compact. With his dark, wavy hair, Elizabeth guessed the man was Italian, maybe Greek. He would have passed for handsome, except for the gash between his closed eyes. Something had struck him head-on. His skull had caved into a narrow trench. Death by blunt instrument. An industrial accident, perhaps. Or maybe an attacker's lead pipe. Hard to say. Elizabeth examined the stranger in silence. She wasn't sure how to proceed. Should she pretend that this was Raymond, feign sadness, and report back? What would she gain, except the knowledge that the bodies had been switched? Could she confide in this odd little woman, or was the risk too great? Would she tattle to her uncle, ruining their only chance at the truth?
"This isn't him, is it?"
Clarissa spoke softly, but the question resounded in the still chamber. When Elizabeth said nothing, Clarissa said, "I was afraid of that." She raised a finger to her lips, then sashayed over to the staircase. She cupped a hand around her ear and listened. Satisfied, she said, "We're safe. He's asleep, I'm sure of it." "Safe? What do you mean?"
"My uncle always takes a nap around noon. He gives himself a sedative. Doctor's orders. Sometimes he sleeps for hours. Nothing will rouse him."
She looked pleadingly at Elizabeth.
"You said you studied medicine."
"Yes, a little."
"I have to show you something," said Clarissa. "I think my uncle is doing something."
Clarissa moved to the corner of the room, to the door marked Supplies. She reached out and grasped the knob, rusty and dented with age. She waited a moment, then turned to Elizabeth.
"I'm not supposed to go in here."
"But you have, haven't you?" said Elizabeth. Clarissa grimaced. She turned the handle and pushed open the rotted wood door. The hinges squealed. She flipped a switch, and a light came on. But it wasn't a typical white bulb. It was tinted red, like in a photographer's darkroom. A sickly scarlet light illuminated the alcove. Elizabeth followed Clarissa through the door. Two workbenches were wedged against the walls. The long tops were covered in books, beakers, jars, dusty cardboard boxes. Each object was swaddled in dark shadows, a macabre geometry of darkness and crimson light.
"My God," said Elizabeth, "it's a laboratory."
In the middle of the small room stood a bed, but it wasn't the hard metal surface of a mortuary table. It was covered in a thin mattress with tucked-in cotton sheets. On either side, there was a pair of unfastened leather belts, the kind of restraints used in lunatic asylums.
"How long have you known about this?" Elizabeth asked.
Clarissa shrugged.
"I don't know, a little while."
"And what's this?" On the rear workbench, abutting the wall, was a heavy black device. It was the size and shape of a toolbox, its textured steel surface beset with dials. An electrical cord, encased in rubber skin, was coiled neatly to its side. The cord was stuck to a metal dish, like a small fruit bowl. Elizabeth scrutinized this object for a moment, and then it came to her. It was the headpiece for an electric chair, the kind used for executions.
"What do you think he's doing here?" whispered Clarissa.
Elizabeth leaned in, examining the bottles at eye level. The labels were old, tattered, rubbed away, but they were chemicals, she could tell. The room reeked of a dozen unnatural scents.
"I think," said Elizabeth, "your uncle is experimenting on the corpses."
"Experimenting?" said Clarissa.
"But how?"
"It may sound preposterous," said Elizabeth, touching one of the beakers, "but I think he's trying to bring them back from the dead."
"You mean, making them alive again?"
"Precisely." Something caught her eye. Elizabeth looked up, above the display of equipment. A framed portrait was nailed to the plain gray wall. It was small, not much larger than a postcard, and old. A man and woman stood together, gazing grimly at the camera. Their fashion was dated. The man wore a mustache and ascot. The woman wore a layered black dress, with puffing shoulders and a string of pearls. Elizabeth's eyes widened.
"Wait a minute."
Something pressed against her face, a hand, a damp cloth, the smell of ether. Elizabeth teetered, then felt her head jerk back, a smothering sensation, breathlessness. She saw the red bulb above her, blurry and distant, felt the cold concrete floor, a silhouette above, pressing the rag into her face, her body going limp, and then darkness. You've been listening to the phantasmal return of Raymond Walsh. The Adventures of Elizabeth Crown are produced by Backpack Media, LLC, written and performed by Robert Eisenberg. Music by Eric Satie, Naoya Sakamata, and Kevin MacLeod. If you enjoy what you're hearing, check out Ghost Bandits of Sonora, the latest novel in the Elizabeth Crown series, now available on Amazon, and you can also order it from your local bookstore. For more information about the exciting world of Uncanology, visit elizabethcrown.net.